And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Our DDD, get this. This is a title we've never used. Dealing with scorpions. Ooh. I'll have to tell you about my scorpion story in Arizona. It was amazing. Plus, we're going to look at everybody struggling. Is everybody struggling? Everybody struggles. We're going to examine whether God proves it. Oh, that's fat. What? That God proves it. And we'll close it out with perfect discipline.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at. During the show, lessons for surviving. You know, that's good. Surviving is not bad, because not surviving is terrible. Living, now that's a step above surviving. So you have surviving, then you have living, like a step up. And prevailing, now that's a step up from just living. So you got surviving, then a step up, then living, then a step up from that, prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events, personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oh no, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 866-577-2473, 866-K-PRAISE. Any topic is, of course, technically open for conversation because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family. The David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-PRAISE, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. We're going to take a short break and then come back, but stand by!
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. The FBI is looking at terrorism as a possible motive after an officer was stabbed in the neck at the Flint, Michigan airport. David Gelios, FBI special agent in charge, says the suspect has been identified as a 50-year-old Canadian by the name of Amor Fatui. He says Fatui flew into the airport with two bags.
He spent some time in the restaurant up there, and then he came out. He was carrying baggage. He went into a restroom. He spent a little time in the restroom, dropped both bags, and came out, pulled out a knife, yelled Allah Akbar, and stabbed Lieutenant Neville in the neck.
The condition of Lieutenant Jeff Neville was upgraded from critical to stable by Wednesday afternoon. The Senate Intelligence Committee dives into Russian cyber attacks during the 2016 election by hearing from election officials.
Jeanette Manfer with the Department of Homeland Security says the Russian hacking was extensive.
We, as of right now, we have evidence of 21 states or election-related systems in 21 states that were targeted.
Committee Chairman Richard Burr pressed the issue.
But in no case were actual vote tallies altered in any way, shape, or form.
That is correct.
Manfred did not reveal which states were targeted, but Arizona and Illinois have acknowledged their voting systems were among them. Linda Kenyon, Capitol Hill.
Forecasters say heavy rains are now lashing parts of the Gulf Coast as Tropical Storm Cindy edges ever closer to its expected landfall in the coming hours. The National Hurricane Center says it expects little change in strength until the storm rumbles ashore somewhere along the Louisiana-Texas line. Authorities say a 10-year-old boy struck by storm surge debris in Alabama is the only fatality reported so far. On Wall Street, the Dow down by 57 points to 21,410. The NASDAQ rose 46. The S&P declined 1. Oil down to $42.53 a barrel. This is SRN News.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
God comforts others as we share how he comforted us.
Our Daily Bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by Soshi Dixon. Soshi writes, "A friend mailed me some of her homemade pottery. Upon opening the box, I discovered the precious items had been damaged during their journey.
One of the cups had shattered into a few large pieces, a jumble of shards, and clumps of clay dust. After my husband glued the broken mess back together, I displayed the beautifully blemished cup on a shelf. Like that piece together pottery, I have scars that prove I can still stand strong after the difficult times God's brought me through. That cup of comfort reminds me that sharing how the Lord has worked in and through my life can help others during their times of suffering. The Apostle Paul praises God because He is the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. The Lord uses our trials and sufferings to make us more like Him. His comfort in our troubles equips us to encourage others as we share what He did for us during our time of need. So she continues, as we reflect on Christ's suffering, we can be inspired to persevere in the midst of our own pain, trusting that God uses our experience to strengthen us and others toward patient endurance. Like Paul, we can be comforted in knowing that the Lord redeems our trials for His glory. We can share His cups of comfort and bring reassuring hope to the hurting. Sometimes we need a little extra motivation to spend time in God's Word each day. And now it couldn't be easier. With Our Daily Bread, download the mobile app for your Apple or Android device at getodbtoday.org. Today's encouragement is provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
Separation from a spouse or legal partner is difficult, plain and simple. Child custody, visitation challenges, spousal support disagreements, and so forth can be incredibly messy if proper legal groundwork has not been set. Family law attorney Robert J. Balmer has been helping separated couples navigate the uneasy waters of divorce and legal separation for over 40 years. Robert is an experienced professional and will always talk to you straight. If you need help with any family law situation, call Robert Balmer, B-A-U-M-E-R, for a free legal consultation. He'll give you good, sound advice about your situation and what should be done. For a free consultation with Robert, call 619-497-0054. The law offices of Robert J. Balmer, a good team to have on your side. 619-497-0054. 619-497-0054.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Oh, a couple things to roll in your direction. One, don't forget to go to crazypricemall.com so you can get the opportunity to get 50% off or more on certain items, including food. Again, my wife and I, we are... Now, she happens to be a really good cook, so it's a little tougher. But we eat out or eat in without doing a lot of work. And if you can get 50% off on all the different places we would eat out at, that would save me a lot of money. If you are in the area and you're thinking, I'm doing restaurant food, go to crazypricemall.com. See if there's anything there for you. You might have an opportunity to get a great discount. We think that's fantastic. You can also go to kprz.com to get more information on things that are happening throughout the community. And I want to say that I love everybody, but after this segment, there are going to be some people that will never listen to the show again. And I just want to say thank you for listening for the last 4.5 years, and you'll be missed. Okay. Now that I've got that out of the way, there is an article that came out from the Free Beacon. And sometimes you got to watch where the articles come from. Just because an article comes out doesn't mean it's all accurate. However, this one happens to be accurate. And it talks about some of the gay groups that are continuing the effort to remove Christians from public forums and from public office. They were actually upset. One of the LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ123 groups. Oh, I only add letters because they keep adding letters, so don't give me a hard time about that. One of their groups were upset that Focus on the Family had a representative in a public format talking about fatherhood on Father's Day. And this is where you just go, what is the problem here? You're going to tell me that focus on the family. Can't talk about fathers on Father's Day, right? So here is the bottom line. I don't want you to take this run. There's never, never the right action of violence in Christian faith. Never the right action to physically abuse or attack somebody. Ever. There is also no excuse for surrendering the truth either. Now, I happen to be a huge fan of Family Life Today, The Rock Church, Focus on the Family, Jim Daly's a great guy. And they have gone out of their way, these ministries, to extend peace talks with LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ123ers. And there are some groups in that community that will at least be decent enough to have a conversation, willing to stand their ground while they're willing to have Christians stand their ground, whether there's a difference of opinion or persuasion, entirely up to the situation. But there are some groups that are so far out, they don't want focus on the family talking about fathers on Father's Day. There is no deal with the devil, and there is no deal with the deceived. You are not permitted to be violent, but you are not permitted to surrender the truth. And before you say whatever you want to say, because that's what we'll get is all those emails from people, you're just homophobic. Well, I know as many people in the community as you do, and here's the reality check. The reality check is that respect in argument does not have an identifying marker of a multicolored flag. It has to do with the person's character. And if people and groups are unable to have discussions and do violence or just shout down, then they are unlearned, unstable, unworkable people. And if the Lord wants to save them, awesome. But here's the passage that comes to mind more often. 2 Thessalonians 2:9-12. The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan with all power and false signs and wonders, and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing. Did you hear that? All wicked deception for those who are perishing because they refused to love the truth and so be saved. Therefore, God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false, in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You can give me all your arguments you want all day long, yappity, 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 yappity. But people who are connected to satanic activity and people who dwell in unrighteousness love defiance before God. Oh, by the way, pride is not a good sin to walk in. I don't care what the government says. Pride has self-centeredness and selfishness written all over it. And it's because those people refuse to love the truth and so be saved that they are caught in wicked deceptions. I'm apologizing to anybody. You don't like it. Tough. And here's another part you better catch on, because this is for Christians. Because for some reason, the church in a lot of the Methodist church and these different group churches, and I was a Methodist pastor. You don't give me no jive about that. Here's the bottom line. They're capitulating truth in the name of making sure everybody gets along. Hey, guess what Jesus didn't do? That. He never did that. He never said, well, you're right, Pharisees. I think, you know, my words are more offensive than your words. I'm just going to take them all back. In fact, in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus called the Pharisees snakes and vipers. That's the reality check. And for those, and we're going to deal with this next week because we have Ann Polk coming on next week, which is not the favorite of many communities. I do want to point out 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because I love family life. I love The Rock. I love Focus on the Family. I think the deal-cutting days are over. You're either a sheep or a goat. Pick a side. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, adulterers, men who practice homosexuality, thieves, greedy, drunkards, revilers, swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Of such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of Jesus Christ. That's what those people were. So when people say, well, you can't be a homosexual and then not be a homosexual again, that's a lie. Because the scripture says specifically, that's what you were. And for the same thing for people who are drunkards, who are said, I'm always a drunkard. No, that's what you were. You were a thief. You were greedy. You were an adulterer. You were sexually immoral until Jesus Christ got a hold of your heart. And now you are saved and redeemed and justified by the Lord Jesus Christ. So this whole little argument thingy that's going on, that's like, oh, well, you know, once you're that way, you can't change. It's the most absurd thing in the world. Well, have you ever heard of the concept called born again? Of course things can change. And I know, well, the federal government says this. I don't care what the federal government says. I care what God says. When the federal government's commands and orders breach the commands of God, which one do you go with? Just answer the question. When they say kill innocent babies, do you say yes because the government said so? Or do you say no because you know it's murder and you know Psalm 139 makes it clear that God is working in the womb in children? This is ridiculous. Here's Isaiah 7:9. It says, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. No making deals with the devil. No making deals with the deceived. There's no deal making. We stand in the truth. And we stand in the truth and we don't change that part of it. That's why Jude says, while I was making every effort to write about you about the common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you to appeal that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. You don't physically contain. You contain by argument. You contain by discussion. You contend by truth. But stop making deals with the enemy. That's ridiculous. Jesus never made a deal with the enemy. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise. Oh, yes, he did call people enemies. The Christian station here in San Diego, California. You're going to take a short break and then come back. Don't go anywhere.
Stay tuned for more of the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
I am pure Burmese and strong in my own religion. I did not want to hear about Jesus, but Pastor Ruwat came and told me about him.
When Da Ai Tin first heard about Jesus, her reaction was,
I will never believe your God and change my religion.
But Pastor Ruwat continued to visit, sharing God's word and answering her questions. At first, she rejected the message, but after 1 year, her heart softened. And then one day, she clearly knew that what Pastor Ruwat had been telling her about Jesus and salvation was true. Now she is a believer in the living God. We at Whitefields Ministry support pastors so people can hear the gospel.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
Some people like to plan. For others, just the thought of planning, well, it gives them a serious headache.
This is Real Family Life with marriage and family expert Dennis Rainey. It's Wednesday, June 21st.
I like to plan because then I feel like it calms me down probably more than anything. It helps me just focus and not feel like I'm going to be scatterbrained or I'm going to forget something or, you know, make a mistake or waste my time or something like that.
I'm a doer. My tendency is to start on trips without even consulting a map. Well, as long as I know the general direction we're headed. My wife, Barbara, on the other hand, loves to plan. And don't get me wrong, she likes to get things done as well, but she's a big fan of what we call the planning weekend. A planning weekend is a chance for a couple to get away from the daily grind, leave the kids behind, and spend some time looking at what's coming up in life. It's especially helpful because it also gives you the opportunity to focus on your relationship. One final thought. Why don't you sit down with your spouse tonight, pull out your calendars, and set aside a weekend. A weekend for some honest-to-goodness planning. Hey, at least one of you will love it. I'm Dennis Rainey, and that's Real Family Life.
I'm Paul George of the Indiana Pacers. When I was six, my days were spent playing basketball. When I was six, my dream was to make it to the NBA. When I was six, my mom had a stroke. So I want you to learn to spot a stroke fast. F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. S, speech difficulty. T, time to call 911. I'm Paul George. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
For joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. I know people are like, Dave, what are you mad about? I'm not mad about anything. I just thought it was important to discuss that issue. I'm very, very committed to praying for people that are wayward. And of course, I don't know who will or won't convert. I have no idea. Only God knows that. But you gotta lay it out sometime. And sometimes Christians, they go excessive. They can either slaughter their own way too easily, which happens all the time, or they give preference to those that are not their own, thinking that they're doing how Jesus did it. And that's not how Jesus approached it. No, by the way, everybody who preaches about how much Jesus loves never bothers to preach about the message he talked about more, which is repenting. It's amazing, right? You just get to do whatever you want. Pick whatever you want in Scripture. Yay! Guess what? The Bible, it's not a cafeteria. It's not a smorgasbord. You know, it's not a buffet. I'll take a little of this. I'll take a little of this. You either take it or you don't. Accept it or reject it. All right. I got that out of my system. Let's get into the next grouping of review, and that's going to be called Everyone Struggles. Now we're going to take this into a personal realm. Isn't that fun? Maybe not, but we're going to do it anyway. This is coming out of Hebrews. By the way, that's a classic joke, right? Jesus loves coffee. How do you know? He brews. Okay, there you go. Hebrews chapter, all right, leave me alone. Chapter 12, verse 4, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. For some people, they won't recognize their sin. That's completely different what this is talking about. This is talking about the reality that if you're a Bible-believing, born-again, evangelical Christian, you don't get away with anything. The Holy Spirit inside you goes, what? You can't do that. What? That's wrong. What? How can you not believe? So in your struggle against, those are just some sins. I wasn't getting into the deepers. In your struggle against sin, you've not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. You've completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son. It says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Here is a fantastic portion of Scripture to teach you something about love. Love is not about your feelings. Hi, I love you. That's really, really cool. Except after you use those feelings and you get married about 10 years later, all that love ooey gooey feeling stuff isn't the same. Want to know why? Because that's the wrong love to sustain a marriage. A marriage or a relationship, a friendship, or even a work relationship is sustained by love that's not based on feeling, but love that's based on decision. You decide to extend to a person grace and mercy and kindness, just like God did with you and does with you. So this concept that love is just this ooey-gooey feeling, by the way, is a Russian philosophy, actually from the 16th century in the regards to written form, but Proverbs prior to that, where it talks about if it feels good, do it. Well, that's great, except if what it feels good, you know, some people that commit murder, it feels good to them. That's not a permissible. You know, that's not acceptable. Love that is genuine and divine. Agape in nature is a love of decision, which is why it says God so loved the world. Get ready for this one. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. That's a conscious decision of sacrifice. That's what love is. Love is not ooey gooey. If ooey-gooey was the way you did everything, and we've talked about this about 5,000 times, then when you go to Taco Bell, do me a favor and order 10 burritos, 20 tacos, 30 churros, and 50 Mountain Dews. Now eat all those in one sitting and tell me you feel the love of God. Oh, what? You feel gas? Well, because that's different, isn't it? Because that love has nothing to do with anything in regards to feelings. Smack your thumb with a hammer. How's that love of God feel? Fantastic if you can cut your thumb off. Right? So love that comes from the Lord, that commitment of love, that's a love that is genuine in nature, genuine in truth. And that love is how God engages with you and I. And he defines it as when he disciplines you. Uh-oh. What? For some of you out there, you're going, wait. You mean those disciplines from the Lord prove that I'm loved? Yes. That should make you feel much better. You go through so many. See? You should feel great. I feel great. Why? Because I'm always going through it. That's just the love of God. You see, that's the key. The key is, and I find this to be amazing, and Ohio State Ron and I talked about this. I watch people, and we engage with people with one another, and I watch people, and people that say they never struggle with sin, I worry about that. I get concerned. And you think, well, why would you get concerned? Because only the Christian cares if they're struggling with sin because they're offending God. And they know they're offending God, and they feel bad about it, and they're struggling. But people that I never struggle with sin. It's almost like they don't own their sin. And that's really dangerous because you know what? If you got sin, own it and bring it to the Lord and recognize that from a redemptive point of view, the blood of Jesus has got you covered. But from a sanctification point of view, he's going to work that out of you piece by piece. But if you don't have any sanctification going on, you either are not a Christian or are already in heaven. There's nothing else. Everybody struggles. It doesn't say in Hebrews 12:4, it doesn't say if you struggle against sin. It says in your struggle against sin, in it, you've not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. In it, not if you have it. And then he says there's a word of encouragement for you. What's that word of encouragement? Don't make light of the Lord's discipline. And don't lose heart when he rebukes you because the Lord disciplines the one he loves. What? Some of you are out there going, a little less love. Not in a real sense, just in that sense you feel like you go through a lot of stuff. Yeah, you might. And it's hard. It's not always easy. Right? But it's part of the Lord's commitment to have you not just justified by the redeeming work of Jesus Christ, but sanctified by the redeeming work of Jesus Christ, which means that what he has pronounced you legally, he's going to make you look like practically. Which is that whole process you go through in salvation. You know, you're saved, you're being saved, and you will be saved. When somebody says, are you saved, you should say, yes, currently and in the future. Because that's what has to do with justification, sanctification, and glorification. You have been saved from the penalty of sin. You are being saved from the power of sin, and you will be saved from the presence of sin. That's the three phases. But the check here is that everybody struggles and we go through it. And if you're a person that struggles with sin, It's not a testimony to the end of the world. It's a testimony that the Holy Spirit's inside you, conforming you to the image of Jesus Christ. Now, there's victory in Jesus, and some people do a better job of accessing that victory, but the reality is that struggle is not a bad sign. And the Lord, he puts you through stuff on purpose. You know, God doesn't sit there and go, I got nothing to do. I think what I'll do is mess up their life because I'm bored. The Lord does what he does because he's got purpose behind it. When we come back, we're going to look at how that purpose can be defined. And some of you are going to cry about it. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
More local, national, and heavenly talk on the David Spoon Experience. AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. No catchy radio jingle here, just me asking for the opportunity to earn your business. I've been a top-selling realtor here in San Diego for over two decades, having sold homes all over the county. I'll give 25% of my commission back to a ministry of your choice. I've already given thousands to Turning Point, San Diego Rescue Mission, and Samaritan's Purse, just to name a few. I'll even front any home fix-up costs at no charge to you. As a former Muslim and now Christian, I put God first personally and professionally. If you or someone you know is considering buying or selling a home, just meet with me. You have nothing to lose. I'll even share my testimony and give you a copy of my book. Call me now at 858-780-1SAM. That's 858-780-1SAM. Or visit me online for all your real estate needs, thinksam.com. That's thinksam.com. God bless.
Recently on Washington Watch Live, Tony Perkins talked about the ongoing fallout of social engineering in the military.
The military has seen in recent years, under the Obama era, of these sexualized policies, there has been a major increase in sexual assaults. Should we be surprised? But what was fascinating, what they don't want to deal with, is that many of them are male-on-male sexual assaults. Our military has been sexualized. Our culture has been sexualized. And then we wonder why we have all these issues. I mean, folks, come on. I mean, when you normalize what is abnormal, then you wonder why you have these things happening.
You can find out more when you visit TonyPerkins.com.
Ask Diane for a story about how faith in Jesus got her through a major challenge, and she's got one.
I had a heart attack and continued to have heart difficulties, and I was told that I did not have long to live.
That news hit Diane hard.
Up to that point, I'd had a pretty strong faith, and I had a lot of Christian joy in my life. But when that happened, it felt like someone just came up and stole that joy.
Diane's reaction? She prayed, and she found an answer in God's Word.
The Scripture said, praise Him in all things. And so I set out on a mission to praise God regardless, and God restored that joy.
Facing a challenge? You could do what Diane did. Pray. Read the Word of God and praise God in all things. There's more at BillyGraham.org under Grow Your Faith. BillyGraham.org.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. I don't know what that song is, but do-do-do. It's a little catchy. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Okay. What shall I tell you? We're talking, as you know, about discipline, and we're talking about love, and we're talking about struggling with sin. We kind of talk about a lot of things, which is nothing wrong with talking about a lot of different things. It's important for us to understand those concepts. One, God loves us. That's a great, great element. Number two, that love does not mean that God just has feelings for us, per se, that the love of God is described in the Bible is an agape love, a love of a decision. I understand that cable news commentators and New York Times and other media outlets in Hollywood doesn't understand that, but I don't care. Because their opinion means nothing. God's opinion means something. Their opinion's useless. They're out to make money no matter what. Not one person be doing what they're doing in any of those things if they didn't get a paycheck. Not one. But God loves us, and it's an agape love, a love of choice, a love of decision. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his one only son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Okay, got that. So those are a couple things we understand. And we understand that that love that God has is manifest sometimes in his discipline in our lives. In fact, for those that are unaware of this, in Revelation chapter 3, Jesus said, those that I love, I rebuke. It might be Revelation 2. It's one of the two. It's one of the letters to seven churches. It's not the point. The point is Jesus is demonstrating, you know, if I love you, I'm rebuking you. And I can relate to that. I got kids. Guess what I won't let my kids do? Stick their hand in a garbage disposal. Why? Because if I did, I'm a terrible parent. Guess what there is? Consequences if they turn the garbage disposal on and put their hand by it. What kind of consequences? I'd smack them. You're not supposed to discipline your kids. All right, Dr. Spock, when I had the kids, you didn't, and I'll raise them according to biblical standards. If you don't like it, too bad. So the idea in that process is to catch that, look, you help create those with the gift of God. You, those children with the gift of God, you have a responsibility. And part of that is warning them. You know, if your parents don't warn you, hey, look both ways before you cross the street, you know, stern warning, there's something wrong with the parents. If the parent doesn't say, don't touch that, it's hot, there's something wrong with the parents. There should be warnings. There should be disciplines. That's the best. That's proof of love. Proof that somebody cares, that they're willing to combat to some degree so that you're in a betterment place. That's really, really important for us to understand. In Christianity, we have made love this fuzzy-wuzzy thing. Fuzzy-wuzzy was a bear. That's fantastic, but that's not going to get anybody saved. And just that whole process. Can't we all get along? Sure, if everybody repented and acknowledged Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God, we'd all get along. But until then, Jesus said there's sheep and goat. And he made it clear that as the time gets near towards the end, the separation between sheep and goat will become more and more clear. Guess what's happening? The separation is becoming more and more clear, isn't it? Of course it is. But the Lord wants you to know, hey, those disciplines, they're hard, they're difficult, but they're proof that you're a child of the Most High God. Here's the thing you're not going to want to hear. This one line. Ready? Verse 7. I don't even like reading it. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. I don't like that line. Why? Well, hardship is a broad term. You might think hardship in the Greek means trials for sanctification, but it doesn't. Hardship means, ready? Hardship. What is that? It means it's not an easy boat. It means it's hard. Hardship is painful, difficulties, troubles. And sometimes we go through these troubles and these difficulties and these hardships, and we don't like them, which I can't blame you for not liking some of them, but the Lord allows these things in our lives as a form of discipline to keep us closely connected to him and to teach us how to reflect Jesus Christ more and more. In fact, he goes on to that next level in verse 8 and says, if you're not disciplined, you're not legitimate. You're not true sons and daughters. You know, these people that go around saying, well, you shouldn't discipline your kids. It's like, really? God is quite clear. If you're not disciplined, you're not even his kid. Everybody's a child of God. Well, don't tell Jesus because he said that ain't true. He said, you're of your father, the devil, to the Pharisees. He wasn't kidding. Oh, he's just fooling around. That's why he called them snakes and vipers and tombs and full of dead men's bones, hypocrites and liars. You're right. That's sure. It all makes sense. The point of bringing that up is for you and I to understand that there are tough times in the kingdom of God, but those tough times, they don't reflect God's disappointment. The exact opposite. They reflect God's appointment. That discipline that you go through, that hardship you go through, these things qualify you as a child of the Most High God. And they're tough to go through, but there is that silver lining for you to understand, yeah, but I go through it because the Lord, he's trying to teach me, rearrange me, reconstruct me, whatever it is. And when we stop being so self-centered, which we are terribly self-centered, and we start recognizing that the things that the Lord allows and does in our lives have a greater eternal purpose, and it's not all about us having our fuzzy wuzzies, you know, we do better. You love it when Paul recognizes, look, it's got to be, you know, I've got to, you know, I got to bow out. It's got to be more of Jesus in me, not more of me in Jesus. More of Jesus in me. Now, there's nothing wrong with more of you in Jesus. I'm just saying this, that reflection. You don't want people to be like you. You want people to be like Jesus. Well, in order for that to happen, you have to have Jesus reflecting through you, not you. It just reminds me, and just bear with me for a second. This is just a statement. So it reminds me of at a pastor's conference one time. We were at a meeting, and this pastor was talking about the church growth and advancing the church in the kingdom of God, and a guy stood up and said, you know, I want to know how to grow the church. I want to know how many people I can disciple. I want to know, you know, how to do these things and increase the numbers. And that minister who was coordinating that looked at the guy and said, well, how many more people do you want that will be just like you versus just like Jesus? And the guy broke down and wept because, you know what? I don't want more people like David Spoon. I want more people like Jesus. I wish there were a bazillion people like Jesus. That would help so much. But here's the key. God disciplines those he loves. And it's proof that we're his kids and proof that he accepts us. That discipline is hard. It has its moments, doesn't it? Even in verse 11, it says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time. I don't think the discipline's great. Like, woohoo, going through discipline with God. Yeah. No, that's not how that goes. But it is true that in that discipline, there's a silver lining. God is my dad, and he's disciplining me because I'm his kid, and he's making it work in me so I reflect Jesus, and it's not some fake flowery love that comes from the 60s hippies. It's a real, genuine, sacrificial love, and it's not everybody get along, to be along, to get along. It's not that either. In fact, here's the real demonstration of love, just so you can know. Your neighbor, if they don't know Christ and you don't tell them they're going to go to hell, you don't love them. And they should know, hey, you're not heading to a good place, man. You're going to go down. It ain't going to be pretty. I mean, that's love, to tell them and to step out in that capacity. So the reason I bring this up, it's important to understand. We go through struggles, and I recognize these struggles, and everybody goes through these different struggles. But these struggles are not always such a negative reflection. These trials are not always this negative reflection. These disciplines are not always these negative reflections. These hardships, while it's not pleasant to go through, doesn't say you're terrible and I'm punishing you. It says you're my kid and I'm teaching you. That's love. That's a word that speaks encouragement. That's God saying, I'm on your side. So much so that I'll take the time to rearrange things in your life so you can really be like Jesus Christ. I mean, we get mad about it. I get mad about it. I bet you other people get mad about it. I'm going to go out on a limb. Most people go through trials and go, right? I'm not happy about it. I love my financial trials. I can't wait to not be able to pay rent next month. It's fantastic. But then there's that trust factor, and I got to believe in the Lord and trust he's going to help me and take care of me just like everybody else. That hardship, that discipline, that is his love. That is his commitment. And when we come back, we're going to close out with understanding why God does that for our sake. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
AM 1210, K-Praise, the Christian station.
The first fundamental step for her even considering reconciliation was whether she was going to choose to forgive me. And that is something that only she can be involved in. Meaning forgiveness is very much a one-way street.
Jonathan Darty on today's Focus on the Family Minute, sharing what he learned about forgiveness and trust, even though his marriage was in turmoil.
Had I continued to just be a self-centered jerk, she could have still forgiven me, because that's out of her own heart and out of her own healing and whatever she decides to give in terms of forgiveness. Trust, however, is a two-way street. And so when we got back together, she had offered me this incredible gift of forgiveness. But now I had to go on a journey of rebuilding trust. And what it boils down to is pursue becoming a man of integrity.
Cultivating real trust in the relationship requires honesty and integrity. And you can hear more from Jonathan at FamilyMinute.org.
What would you say in answer to the question, whose job is it to do ministry in the church? This is Jim Garlow. I give you three choices. The first one is, it's the pastor's job. The second one, it's the pastor's job, but he just can't do it all. He's so overextended. So we all have to help him somehow do his job. Or here's the third one. It's a shared ministry. Which one would you choose? The majority choose number two. And if that's your understanding of your calling in the church, that has to change. If we're going to be effective in what God is calling us all to do, you are not just a layperson. That undermines your value to the cause of Christ. And frankly, it allows you to be passive, to be uninvolved in Christ's mission through the church. There's more at jimgarlow.com.
And you thought something strange happened to you. Hi, I'm Chuck Swindoll. Harry Truman used to tell the story of a man who was hit on the head and fell into a deep coma. Finally, people thought he was dead, so they sent him to a funeral home and stuck him in a coffin. At 2 o'clock in the morning, all alone in this dimly lit room, he sat up and looked around. "Good night," he said to himself. "What's going on? If I'm alive, why am I in a casket? And if I'm dead, why do I have to go to the bathroom?" Life can be a rocky ride, can't it? Hang on tight.
Pastor and teacher Chuck Swindoll. Visit Insight for Living's website at insight.org.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Quick reminder, if you want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com. Shout out to Agent Squires for doing a great job filling in on the board for Tugboat Todd, who's sick a second day. Be good for people to be praying for him. It's not an easy thing to do. Being sick is difficult for people, and he has got a little bit of a flu. So we want to be praying for him. We don't want him coming into the studio and getting everybody sick, because then you'll only hear Mickey Mouse recordings. There on out, you don't want to do that. So we have been going through this hour just talking. First, we talked about a little bit about the LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ community. Talked to you about that, and you have the opportunity to listen to that on podcast if you want to review that. But we made it quite clear about contending for the faith. And really not being quiet as a mouse is probably a good idea for the church, since church mouse doesn't do very much. The bottom line in this last portion is we've been talking about the fact that God loves us, but that love doesn't come by manifestation of feely, fuzzy things. You know, it's like that's, you know, if you base everything on feelings, then and people try to justify this, there'd really be no sin in any capacity. People could do whatever they want. The problem there is that when people do things that are unlawful and hurt other people, they also feel good about it. Does that justify it? Nope. Behavior and requirements within the framework of law are necessary to have a civilization unless you're looking for anarchy. Some people are looking for anarchy. I'll tell you what. Just go hang out with ISIS. Get all the anarchy you want. See how they treat you.
Oh, they'll love us. We're feminists.
Go ahead. Go ahead. I'll have the government just, you know, bust you over. Go on. Go over there.
Oh, we're secular progressive.
Why don't you go tell ISIS how much you love a tree? Go tell them. Let's see how it works for you. What? Oh, it doesn't work? Oh, sorry. So we go back to that phrase and we understand that this is a love that comes from the Lord. It's not a fuzzy-wuzzy thing. It's agape love, a love of decision, a love of sacrifice. And that's what sustains relationships in society. I love my kids. You know, tell me there's times I don't want to knock my kid's block off? You're crazy. But my commitment to him, my time invested, my energy and my strength in him. That's why I said I love my grandkids even more than my kids. Why? They haven't done anything yet. My grandchild's 3.5 months old. He hasn't done what my son at 33 has done. Right? That grandkid's got 33 years of bonus.
That's how I look at that.
And here's the bottom line. That discipline that God puts us through, that hardship, that time and that trial, all of that material that God does, that's all testimony that he's with us and for us. It's a demonstration of his parenting, unlike human parents. Verse 9 out of Hebrews 12 says this: moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. So the discipline that comes from parents has a short-term value, but the discipline that comes from God has an eternal value. And while you're going through that thing and it smarts and it doesn't feel great, it's working something in you and for you that will last for all of eternity. A spanking from the Lord now could be worth gold in heaven later. How is that bad? How's that a bad thing? A discipline from the Lord now can work out eternal reward later. It's just like, that's fantastic. It is fantastic. And I encourage you to be aware that God's discipline is unlike any parent or unlike any entity you've connected to. Because when God disciplines, he does it for our good. He doesn't do it for any other reason but to help us. And quite honestly, he doesn't owe us to do it. He does it because of his commitment to us. And he puts up with us, and he listens to us whine and complain. And he does it so we can share in his holiness, so we can spend eternity with him and be connected to him. I mean, the reasons that God allows what he allows, the reason those struggles come in, not only are they evidence of your childship or your sonship or your daughtership with the king, but they're evidence that he demonstrates consistently his love. He proves that you're his kid by letting you go through it and using those things to reflect the Lord Jesus Christ in your life as he brings you through step by step, inch by inch, glory by glory, the Bible says. And he knows what he's doing. Nah, does that mean we love what he's doing? Yeah, come on. Don't tell me you don't look up to God and go, what? Everybody does. But he does. He knows what he's doing. I say that's that advantage of living, always was, always is, always will be, an interlinear being who's not stuck in time. That's the advantage, because God can see what the end will be. Like, oh. Because you don't. I don't. I can't figure out how my drive is going to go today, and that's in 15 minutes. The Lord knows what he's doing, and his discipline is a reflection of his love. And love does not always have fuzzy wuzzies like a little pair of dice. Okay? Get it? Pair of dice? Anyhow, it's really important to grasp those truths so that when you're going through them, you have that much more strength to endure it. The reason God puts it in the Word is so you can use it. And so I can use it. I can look at it and go, oh, this is really tough. but he's got to be working something in me. And I got to trust where it's going to go because he makes that commitment to me as a father, promises that his discipline is perfect, promises that he's doing it for my good. And even though I can't see it, I can trust him that he'll get me there. And he's doing this and it reflects his love. And that's me trusting in the character of God versus in trusting in my own evaluation or understanding. That's just a great idea in life. Okay? All right. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a 22-hour break. Then we're going to come back. More insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you tomorrow.
He's a warrior and brings life.
The David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.